Praised be Jesus and Mary. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. True humility that our Lord has taught us and wants us to imitate from his example, is not only saying that we're humble, not only claiming to be humble, not only telling God that we want to be humble, but also doing the works of humility, doing the works that correspond to a true humility. You know, we have to avoid either of the two extremes. You know, doing the works of devotion and then, praying like the Pharisee with pride, boasting before God, or on the other hand, humiliating ourselves before God and men, but then not doing the works of devotion, not doing the works, of our Christian faith. So there's one sign, one sure sign that our humility is true, that it's genuine, and that's accepting the cross with our Lord, knowing how to deny our will, knowing how to deny our will to do God's will, even when it hurts, even when at our own expense, because we don't deserve any better. And the cross is already a grace that we don't deserve. Even if we have the grace to bear the cross, to suffer with our Lord, that's already too much for us. That's more than we deserve. And that's true humility, to do that with our Lord. The Imitation of Christ says that Jesus has always many who love his heavenly kingdom, but few who bear his cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. And those, on the contrary, who love him for his own sake, and not for any comfort of their own, bless him in all trial and anguish of heart, as well as in the bliss of consolation. So if we serve our Lord for the consolation of it, because it makes us feel good, because it consoles us or makes us feel righteous or humble, then we love ourselves, not God. Then we are sure that we have a great love of ourselves, but not for God. If, on the other hand, if we serve our Lord not seeking any consolation, not seeking the praise of men, not seeking even any self-gratification of feeling holy, of feeling humble, if we love God and serve him for his sake, even in trials and tribulations and anguishes, then we have found love of God. The Imitation of Christ says again, words of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, if a man give all his wealth, it's nothing. If he does great penance, it is little. If he gains all knowledge, he is still far afield. If he have great virtue and much ardent devotion, he still lacks a great deal, and especially he lacks the one thing that is most necessary to him. What is this one thing? That leaving all, he forsake himself, completely renounce himself, and give up all private affections. Then, when he has done all that he knows he ought to have done, let him consider it as nothing. Let him make little of what may be considered great. Let him in all honesty call himself an unprofitable servant. For truth itself has said, our Lord himself has said, when you shall have done all these things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. True humility is accepting the cross. It's not words, not emotions, not sentiments, not even devotion or prayers. It's accepting the cross because we don't deserve any special treatment. We're not greater than our Lord. If he bore the cross, we must bear it with him. So let's tie this in today to Our Lady's fourth sorrow. We've been meditating on the sorrows of Our Lady in these Saturdays of Lent. And if we don't have Our Lady, we won't be able to ever put these reflections into practice. It is she who leads us to our Lord and brings our Lord to us. When she met our Lord on the way to Calvary, when she met him carrying his heavy cross, St. Alphonsus imagines the conversation that they must have had. And he says to her, as if it were our Lord speaking, "Where are you going? If you come where I go," our Lord says to Our Lady, "you will be tormented with my sufferings and I with yours." But although the sight of her dying Jesus must have cost her such cruel anguish, the loving Mary will not leave him, St. Alphonsus says. The Son goes before and the Mother follows, that she may be crucified with her Son. the mother took up her cross and followed him that she might be crucified with him. Now, although the sight of her dying Jesus was a cruel anguish to her, the loving Mary will not leave her son. She must, you know, though she must love him at her own expense, at the cost of her own suffering, she will not abandon her son because she truly loves him, even when she has to bear the cross with him. Now, Jesus has always many who love his heavenly kingdom, but few who bear his cross, and Our Lady is amongst those few. In fact, she is the only one that persevered, you know, spontaneously of her own will, of her own strength, you know, to all the way to the end, and all those who were with her were there also. So let us be with Our Lady as well. If we consider ourselves devoted to Our Lady, devotees of Our Lady, if some of us are consecrated to Our Lady, her property, we must be with her where she is and consider dear to us what is dear to Our Lady. And we must love our Lord like she loved our Lord, even when it hurts, so that we might one day hear the words of our Lord, you know, which he said to his apostles, "It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you." He doesn't say, "It is you who said many great prayers. It is you who claimed to be humble. It is you who, you know, humiliated yourself before in your prayers before God and men." No, it is you who have stood by me in my trials. You know, you have passed the test of true humility and true love, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my heavenly Father has conferred one on me. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and all that he builds on his pride will crumble and fall. But the one who humbles himself, only the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Praised be Jesus and Mary.